Welcome to CWH. I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, had a desire to tell the world of the saving grace of Jesus Christ and to encourage believers in their faith. That continues to be our purpose, to deliver Dad's timeless messages to the world. It is such a joy to hear from our viewers. From Iowa, a note reads, "Thank you for caring about us and keeping us in your prayers. I am so very thankful to have found the Christian Worship Hour. I love to hear Pastor Salem's voice and can understand all that he is preaching. I can't wait for the weekend to come so I can tune into your program. You help me in my daily journey." Today's sermon, Psalm 97, first aired on my dad's 97th birthday. We hope this service will be of comfort to you. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And I want to give you a special welcome because today is I'm celebrating my 97th birthday. And we're going to be using the 97th Psalm. And we're going to give God all the glory because he's worthy of it. So we're looking at Psalm 90, verses 8 through 12. "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we all fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." So, dear Lord, help us, teach us to number our days. Help us to use every day for you, because every day is a gift. And help us to be sure that we give all the glory to you at all times. In Jesus' name, amen. Jan's going to sing for us, "Praise the King of Heaven." God bless you, Jan. God bless you. That's exactly right. We just bring praise to God in every way. And Jan has been so faithful, and all of our team is faithful, standing by. And we just thank God for them and Thank God that we can bring glory to the Father's name. Well, we want to look at some of the letters today. And the first one we get is from Fargo, North Dakota. And this person writes, "The last thing I want to say, I've been tithing to your ministry for at least a year. I'm on disability, but I still give my 10%. And God has blessed me so much. I still have money left at the end of the month. God is good. My trust and faith in God has made me stronger than ever. Praise you, Jesus. God bless your ministry." And this brings back so many memories, because we were in the depression years, the 30s, and our only source of income was the cream that we take into the creamery. And my mother would always take that cream check. And the first thing she did was give 10% to the Lord. And she taught us to do that. And there's great joy in giving it. And sometimes you may have to just be watching how you spend your money. But God will bless you if you tithe. As a matter of fact, Jesus told us we should tithe. He says in Matthew 23, verse 23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone." And so he is teaching us that we should tithe. That's New Testament. Well, let's see. We got a letter here from Casper, Wyoming. Oh, yes. I want to read this. He writes and says, "Evolution has been proven scientifically. Please get your pastor to stop knocking on things that are proven science. It's insulting and extremely inaccurate." Well, I just want to spend a little time on this, especially for young people, because this is what they're getting taught. And so I just want you to point out a few things. And now the very first thing is evolution has not been, evolution is not proven scientifically. The first thing we look at is this gentleman is totally wrong. Evolution is not scientific, never has been, never will be. First of all, ask the question, what is a scientific fact? Well, here's a scientific fact. If you have nothing, then nothing can come out of it, right? You don't have anything, you can't give anything. Or a zero is a zero. A zero here, you don't come up with a five over here, see? So that's science, and that's true every time. So now when you come, that's a scientific fact, see? So when you come to the evolutionists, what do they say? Now listen to me, you're not going to believe this. They say, from nothing comes something. Yes, they do, yeah. From nothing, they get something. From zero, they get a number. So the truth of the matter is, evolution is not a scientific fact. You know what evolution is? It's a delusion. It's a theory. It's a bad theory. It's a fairy tale. It's a hoax. Evolution is a lie and nothing more, and something that comes out of nothing. That is, you say, good grief, there's nothing there and you're going to get something from it. Irwin Lutzer, pastor of Moody Memorial Church in Chicago, writes this, "Many scientists are now admitting that evolution is contrary to the known laws of science and therefore is not based as science, but on naturalism. Evolution, if it is anything at all, is anti-scientific." Louis Bernard, director of scientific research in France, is quoted as saying, "Evolution is a fairy tale for adults." So let me give you a scientific fact. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and you just leave it at that. And when they make these claims, they have no basis. Maybe they do it in ignorance, maybe they're lying, I don't know, but it's not true. So much for that. When I read that letter, I just had to answer this dear man and tell him what the facts are because of the young people. Don't you fall for that. Now let's see, here's a letter from Portland, Oregon. "My heart is giving up and I have from days to a couple months left before it gives out completely. I thought my faith was strong. I've settled it with Jesus, but I feel so alone, and my prayers go to deaf ears. I know God promises to never leave me, but I need to feel His touch. He no longer gives me songs in the night, no matter how I pray and beg. You are in my prayers. God bless you. Now, here's what we have to point out. You don't ever go by feelings. For instance, God says, Jesus says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He doesn't say that he that feeleth or he that thinketh, but he that believeth. And so what we have to do is but just not count on feelings. And I know of a man one time, and he said it felt like $1 million, and he died that night. One died on the way to, came back from a clinic, and they said he was in perfect health, and he was dead within a week. And so you can't go by feelings. You go by cold facts. God says it. God says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Maybe you get feelings and maybe you don't. It doesn't make one particle of difference. It's just believing. It's just taking God at his word. It's just like taking a covenant with God, just like old Abraham did. God said it and Abraham believed it. And that's what we have to do. Here's one from my friend in Havana, Cuba. He says, thank the Lord, I have news from you again. It's been a long time since I got your inspiring letter. The last one was dated on November 27th last year. It seemed to be that our mutual letters make a long trip around the world before reaching our hands. However, I'm still enjoying your ministry every Sunday early in the morning on World Harvest Radio. Thanks a lot for the Christian Worship Hour team photo. Tell each of them they have a brother and sister, my wife Martha, that are praying for them here in Havana. God bless all of you and pray for the Lord for my wife's health. Have a happy 2018. Looking for your inspiring letters from Havana to Havana, Cuba, your Christian brother. Took 6 months to get there. And I thought, boy, next time I think I'll put postage on it. But we don't know what happens to it. But here's a dear brother, and this is, I think, our third letter that we've written back and forth. And I just can't wait to see him in heaven, Havana, Cuba. Here's St. Cloud, Minnesota. I need some prayers. Porn has a strong grip on me. I know this is sin. This sin is separating me from Jesus. I pray to him to help me with this problem, but each day I keep falling into sin and not getting anywhere with my prayers. Please, I need help. I'm enclosing my gift. Thank you, Pastor Salem. And so, of course, we've sent literature to this man. We have written to him and tried and encouraged him. And one verse that we gave him is 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, what we're told here is that God will never give you a temptation that you can't beat with Christ's help. You have to have the Lord's help. If you're trying to do it in your own strength, the arm of flesh will fail you every time. And so you have to have Christ in your heart. And you say, well, how do I get Jesus in my heart? I don't even see him. I don't even know how. And what you simply do, he says, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. You open the door and he comes in. That's exactly it. And so when you receive Christ, you just tell him, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. And maybe if you got some terrible sin that you wanted to tell, well, then you just tell him, give the sins, name the sins, or you just say all my sins, and then ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins. And you promise to turn from those sins. Now, you'll never be perfect, but we strive for perfection. And when you fail, you go to Jesus and you ask him, and to confess our sins. He says, 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins, he'll forgive us. And you go to him and he'll forgive you every time. Then you get up on your feet and you go on. But the main thing is never give up and lean on Jesus, count on Jesus. Here's a nice letter. Well, they're all nice, but this really enjoyed this one. This is from Woodbridge, Virginia. I was born in Lima, Peru, and living in the United States since 1984. I want to express my gratitude for you and your ministry. During the month of March 2018, I learned the meaning of "for the blood of the Lamb." Your explanation about the shed blood, the sacrifice in the Old Testament, finally made sense to me. You do a great job. Your sermons are easy to understand. I look forward every Saturday to watch your service. God bless you. And so there it is, there's that blood from the Old Testament to the New Testament all the way through. And it tells us that the blood in 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And it tells us in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That is, without Jesus shedding his blood, we will never be able to get to heaven because we have our sins and we have to die for our sins and pay for our sins. But Jesus paid for them and he sets us free and we can go into heaven to be with the Lord. And so we sing the song, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Oh, it's glorious. And yet we don't hear a lot of preaching about the blood anymore, but it's there. That's the truth. You have to have the blood. And once you're one, Jesus says it, he'll take us away our sins. And he says, "Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more." He says, and then he tells it coming, "I've been looking forward to your song, new song." And so this person is writing about the new song. And every month we have a new song. It's a little paper we put out. And this month it's about "that I might know him, that I might know Jesus, that I might be like Jesus." And so if you'd like to get this, and if you'd like to help us and write to us, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I just want to say a word about the new song. And that is, every month there's a different subject. But there's scripture verses, and some people use it for Sunday school classes. We have people use it in prison. They get together and they use it in prison. And so you just write and say, "I want the new song," S-O-N-G. Sometimes they say new psalm and new something other, but we'll get the message. We get the idea. And then we have a new film out, "The Heart of a Shepherd." And you can write for that, and we send that on a free will offering basis. And then I want to tell you about how we figure our finances. When we get money, we are very careful with it, and we receipt every penny we get. And then we spend it, and we use it exactly according to our budget, and it goes right back into the ministry. We are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and that's an international organization. And every year, they come and check our books. And do they ever check our books? They're all over the place. And we have to open everything. And another thing, they can come anytime they want. Usually they call and say, "We'd like to stop in such a time." But they can just walk into the door and say, "We want to see your books." And so we're very proud that we account for every penny we get. And here's a miracle, if you want a miracle. And everybody, wouldn't you like to work? If you want to work a miracle, here's how you can do a miracle. You get on the internet, it gets Christian Worship Hour, and you can donate a gift of money on the Christian Worship Hour. And the miracle is it'll come all the way to the United States, come to us, and it'll come in American currency. So we get one maybe from the Philippines, and instead of getting their finance, their money, we'll get it in American money, we'll pay our bills. And so we have to have your help. Say Peter or James says, "You have not because you ask not." So we need your help. We're letting you know. So we hope that you'll write, and then we'll pray for you and you pray for us. So now I'm going to just have a little prayer. Jan's going to play, and you give as the Lord lays on your heart. And whatever it is, it'll be what God wants us to have, And that's what we want, just what God wants to provide. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. Well, we're reading from the 97th Psalm today, and we're going to read the entire Psalm. And then after that, we're going to pray for the persecuted church, and we're praying for the persecuted church in Palestinian territory. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten in the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that have graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them all of the hand, out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown before the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. And dear Heavenly Father, we rejoice. We rejoice because you are so great and so powerful and so mighty. There is none like you, and we can just lean upon you, and we can go to you for refuge. And so we sing about God is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. And no matter what the things may come, what we have to face, you will face them with us, and you'll be our refuge and help. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father. And today we want to pray, our Lord, as we think about our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church, in the Palestinian territory. We know that they are giving their lives and driven out of their homes. And many of them are orphanages, Lord, and many have lost their husbands and their wives. And so they have terrible trials. And help them to know, help them strengthen their faith, and help them to know that we in America and all around the world are praying for them. And the dear Lord, that prayer does make a difference. And help them to know that they help us, because when we see how they make their stand and so true for you, we admire them for that. And it helps us also to say, yes, they're my brothers and my sisters. They're part of my family and part of my heritage. And then, well, if they have to die for you, I'll die for you too, Lord. And I'll stand with them, and it gives us courage. Now in our service today, Lord, may all things honor you. May many come to know you. May there are many that know about you, Lord. Maybe some have never even heard of you before. And help them to open their heart and take you into their heart and life. Because you can bring everlasting life, and you can bring joy and peace and happiness. So we just give you this service and pray your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. And Melissa's going to sing for us, It Is Well With My Soul. And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. O Lord, haste the day shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trumpet shall sound, and the Lord shall descend, even so it is well with my soul, it is well.
Well, I wonder if you can say that, dear friend. If you're to die tonight, if you're to die today, is it well with your soul? Well, you can know. Some people say, oh, we won't know until we get there. We won't know until we meet God. Oh, yes, you can know, because that's the beauty of it all. You can know that you have everlasting life. And so you can just come to the Lord. That's the only way to do it. Jesus says to him, that as many as received him, he said he gave power to become the children of God. He tells us in John 3:16, that wonderful verse, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him, whosoever, that's anybody, everybody, anywhere, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, that is, won't go to hell, but is passed from death unto life, that is, eternal life. You're going to be in heaven with Jesus. And so I'm just praying that if you don't know the Lord, you just look to him and open your heart to him, and you find everlasting life. Well, today is I'm thinking about my birthday, because on June 26th, I'm going to observe my 97th birthday, the Lord willing. And so I take the text from Psalm 97. I started that in Psalm 90, and I don't know how many psalms there are, but I'm not going to be preaching all of them here. I'm going to finish the series in heaven. But for today, we're going to look at Psalm 97. And this is most Bible scholars ascribe this psalm to David. And so then we say, well, we'll look at the 97th psalm, and what will our text be, and what will our topic be? And so I could preach a lot of different sermons. For instance, verse 1 says, the Lord reigns. So you could preach a sermon on how God reigns. The second verse is, he burneth up his enemies. And so you could talk about the God of judgment. And we need to hear maybe a little bit more about the God of judgment, because God hates sin. And if we die in our sins and we're come to meet God in our sins, there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's what Jesus said. So you know he's told us and warned us. So you could do about that. Or verse 6, the heavens declare the glory, declare his righteousness. So he could preach about the righteous God and how righteous he is. Or verse 7 is, worship him, all ye gods. And so that we could have a sermon on worship. Or here, ye that love the, verse 10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. And so, oh God, we love you, something like that. Oh, you could preach a whole series. But I'm going to use the 12th verse for today. And that reads, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. And there are three things that stand out in this scripture. rejoice, give thanks, and remember. And so for my sermon, I want to reverse the order. And I want to preach about remember and give thanks and rejoice. So let's look at remember. What do we remember? Well, when you look at this, we have to remember the holiness of God and the faithfulness of God. And you children and young people watching today, and all of us really, we are building memories. And so we watch out for the hand of God in the events of life. And especially when God helps us in some particular way. Never forget that. Keep that in your mind. And that remember the goodness of God. Remember how he helped us and took care of you. And remember when maybe you were at the point of death, or maybe it wasn't that bad. He delivered you in some way or had some miracle. David remembered the remember the things of God. Remember, David's just a little shepherd boy. He comes out and he's going to fight Goliath. Goliath is 9 feet tall, 9 feet tall. And he says he was the giant was a man of war from his youth. So David goes to battle with Goliath, and you know the rest of the story. And the story closes where David cuts the giant's head off, and he takes the giant's head to Jerusalem, and he takes the armor and he puts it in his tent, hangs it in his tent. Now, why would he hang Goliath's armor in his tent? Some people say, well, he was bragging and he was showing off. But that can't be, because listen to David when he faces Goliath. He gives all glory to God, all the glory to the God. He says in 1 Samuel 17, thou comest to me, he's talking to Goliath, and David says, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. Then all the earth shall know that there is one great God in Israel. So you know why David kept the armor in his tent? He kept it to remind him of the faithfulness of God. And he never doubted God. He could see what God did in his life. I've had an experience in my life 78 years ago that I have never forgotten and I never will. And that let me tell you about it. I've told it before, but maybe you're new or haven't listened. Maybe you weren't listening when I preached it. I don't know. But it happened on November 11th, 1940. It was Armistice Day. I was in Bible school in Minneapolis, Minnesota. In the morning, we were in classes. It was unseasonably warm in the mid-60s for that time of the year. And then all of a sudden, very quickly, without any warning at all, we find that something came. The temperatures plummeted from the 60s to single-digit degrees. That fast. There was rain, and there was then sleet, and then heavy snow. And in Minneapolis itself, they got 16.7 inches of snow. And then to top it off, winds picked up to 50 miles an hour. And the result was 154 people died in that storm, including 49 duck hunters who had started the day in shirt sleeve weather in 60 plus degrees weather and died in that storm. The storm is called the Armistice Day Blizzard of 1940. It is ranked number 2 by the Minnesota Climatology top 5 weather events of the 20th century. As I sat in my class that morning and I saw those snowflakes coming down, I thought, I am in big trouble. I am in big trouble because I have to walk 6 blocks to my work. And all I have is a flimsy little sweater. No jacket, no coat, no nothing. I'll freeze to death. And I have to have the job. And what am I going to do? And I was at my wit's end. And let me tell you what God did. Our dormitory was right next door to our classes. I walked over to the dormitory, and there was a package for me on the table just inside the door. And I opened it up, and it was a heavy winter coat just my size that came on the day and the hour of the blizzard. And I promised God if I lived to be 100 years old, I would never forget that and how he was provided for me and was faithful to me. And now I'm 97 and I haven't forgotten and I know I never will. In my mind, I have a Goliath armor in my tent. I have that blizzard of 1940 and the grace of God that gave me a heavy coat and I walked to work and had no trouble. So remember the faithfulness of God. There's something in your life that you can hang to, and you young people coming along, there'll be something, and just don't you forget how he stood with you. And then it goes on and says, give thanks to God. And I have a problem here because I don't know where to begin. God has been so good to me. So I guess if I was going to start, I'd start with my mother. That's a pretty good place to start. And my mother, the earliest recollections of my mother was at the night, at the evening, she put us to bed and read us a story and gave and had a prayer and gave us a kiss. And I know that that mother of mine made an impression upon my life, and I just thank God for that. Or I can be thankful for a man named Vernon Egebrotten, an evangelist, who came to a country school and he preached the gospel and he told me about Jesus. And I was 10 years old in that country school and I went forward. The first word of that invitation, I went forward and he told me about how Jesus would take away all my sins and make me clean. 10 years old out in the country, my sins, but I had sins. I started early. I guess I sure did. And then I remember after that, when I went to high school, and I was a new Christian, accepting Jesus at 10 years old. When I got to high school, we had a pastor named Paul E. Boomer. And Paul Boomer taught us this. He helped us to grow spiritually, and he taught us to stand up for Jesus and don't back down and don't be ashamed of Jesus. And stand there and be brave. And one thing he did, and I've told it so many times, he gave us a little pin with J-I-M, and you'd wear it to class. And the big football players and all of the rest of them, they'd say, Jim, Jim who? And then you would tell them, Jesus is mine. Is he yours? Well, that'll give you a little backbone. You'll learn to stand up before your classmates and do that. But Paul Boomer said, don't you be ashamed of Jesus Christ. He has a right to be ashamed of us, but we have no right to be ashamed of him. And I find that it isn't hard to stand alone, and sometimes you have to do it. Just be sure you're standing on the Word of God. That's what you want to be sure. And then you can stand there and let anything happen that wants. And so I'm thankful also that the Lord gave me a wife called Beulah. She was with me 59 and a half years, and she stood with me, and she never said, oh, you've got a terrible, terrible sermon today, or what were you thinking about, or have you thought maybe you should try a different profession, or something like that. She always supported me, everything all the way. And then we had four beautiful, wonderful children, Sharon and Daniel and Patty and Michael, and they became to know the Lord, and they have their spouses, and I have 12 grandchildren and 15 great-grandchildren, and I could go on for a month. But just think, be thankful to God for his goodness and his faithfulness. And then I want to spend most to tell you about thankful and rejoice, because we have Jesus. I have Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. That's what I want to do. I want to tell you about Jesus. Jesus saved my soul. That's the most important thing that I have, and it's the most important thing that you have is your soul. Jesus impressed that upon us when indelibly marked upon us in Matthew 16:26. He said, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And he was telling us two things there. The soul is worth more than all the world. And the second thing he's asking and telling us is, What can you give for exchange for your soul? That is, if you lost your soul, how can you get it back? And he says, rhetorical, you can't get it back. And I lost my soul because I was a sinner. So Jesus comes and he pays the price and he goes to the cross and he's raised from the dead. And then he comes and he says, I'm standing at your heart's door and I knock. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in and I'll fellowship with him. And that's what I did. And Jesus saved me. And that's why we got the Christian worship hour. And that's why we preach our heads off at you and doing everything we can. And we pray and we do somersaults if we could. But it's hard to do somersaults with a walker. I haven't tried it and I probably won't try it. But we do it because we want to have your soul safe in Jesus. You have to save Jesus. And what you have to do is just do what I did when I was 10 years old. Dear Jesus, I have sinned against you. I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I'll turn from my evil ways. I'll walk with, serve you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. And if you do that, Jesus says, I will come in. I talked to a boy, I don't know, 10, 12 years old. It was at a summer camp. His name was Keith. He's dead now. He's in eternity. You know where he is? He's in heaven. And I'm going to tell you how it happened. I give him this verse. I says, Keith, if you knock on your door, you can ask Jesus. He wants to come into your heart. And Keith said something to me that in 75 years and 74 years in the ministry, I've never had anybody ever tell me. He said, what if I ask him to come in and he won't come in? That's what he said, Keith. Well, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody opens the door, I will come in. I want to come in. And that's why we're preaching. You have to have Jesus and he'll save your soul. And then, well, right then and there, 87 years ago, Jesus came into my heart. He saved my soul. I didn't hear any voices and I didn't see any lights and I didn't have any visions and I didn't get goose pimples. Because some people don't have any emotion at all because it is a covenant. It is a contract. Jesus is saying, I will give you something if you will take it. And you say, well, I don't feel like it. You don't have to have feelings at all. You just take it into your heart. And maybe you will. Some people cry and some people dance and some people jump around. And that, do what you want to do. Everybody's different. But don't think that everybody has to come the same way because they don't and they won't. And so just come to the Lord. 87 years later, I can remember it as though it happened the last night. Jesus saved my soul. And then Jesus leads me along. I've been a long old journey now. I'm starting my 97th year. That's a long old trip. I have to admit I haven't always been faithful to Jesus. But he's been always faithful to me, hasn't left me a single time. Phil Johnson put it like this. Yeah, he says, the eyes of the Lord are upon me. He sees everything I do. The arms of the Lord are around me. He keeps me safe and secure. And then the chorus. And although there are times I've stepped out of his will, I've never been out of his care. And do you know what? When I fail Jesus, and I fail him every day, I go to 1 John 1:9, and that says, and God says this is for Christians. 1 John was written to Christians, not the world, the Christians. And he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you say, well, how many times have you gone back to Jesus from your sins? Oh, I'd say maybe 10,000 times, something like that. It never kept record. And I know Jesus didn't because he says, your sins I will remember no more. They're gone. The Bible says this, where grace abounded, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace will cover all of our sins, and the blood of Jesus Christ will save us from all of our sins. And no matter how many times you fail, you get back up. And you're never going to be perfect, but you strive for perfection. He saved me and he leads me. And then he became my best friend. In Proverbs 18:24 says, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I can go to him at any time or any place and he hears me. He never turns me down. Jonah went to him from the belly of a whale. Peter went to him when he was about to drown. A thief on the cross went to him when he was about to die on the cross. Daniel went to him when he was in the den of lions. You can go to him wherever you want to go. He will never forget. He will never turn me away. And I've had some friends that deserted me, but this dear Jesus never deserts me. And I'm going to tell you something else about my friend. He encourages me and he helps me, but sometimes he reprimands me. When I get out of line, when I'm thinking wrong, that's what happened to Peter. Peter was thinking the wrong way. Peter was taking the wrong track. Peter was going again to get into sin. And Jesus said to him, he looked Peter in the eye. And what did he say? Get thee behind me, Satan. Talk about a rebuke. But he'll do it for our good. And he straightened Peter. And though Peter failed miserably in some ways, he and his faith never failed. Jesus is my friend. And oh, yes, then I put down, Jesus always listens to me. Oftentimes when I'm alone, I just talk out loud to Jesus. And I remember I used to jog, and there wasn't anybody near me, and I would talk to Jesus. And one day a fellow was passing. He was cleaning the other side of the road. I didn't see him coming along. I was talking to myself, and he got as far as he could and going around me, and he went around pretty fast. But then they say, oh, he lost his mind. Oh, no, Jesus is there. Here's every thought I have, every word I have. So I talk to him. And you know something else? He answers me every time, every time. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says wait. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says he has a better idea. But he's always there, and he never turns me away. And I always close every prayer, thy will be done. Put it or give it to Jesus. And then there's something else. Sometimes he has to discipline me. And so we're told in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, I'm glad that he disciplines me because it's a good sign. Because Hebrews 12, 6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son that whom he receiveth. We all need correction in one way or another, in a different ways. And so when he's dealing with me and disciplining me, thank you, Jesus, because you care enough about me and you love me and I belong to you. And sometimes, gee, God uses gentle ways, and sometimes there's a hard ways, like with Peter, for instance. He just looked at Peter and broke Peter's heart. And it reminded me of a story, a little boy. He was out in his mother's flower garden, and he had the spoon, and he was digging up her tulips. And all of a sudden, he sensed something standing behind him. He turned around, and it was his mother. She didn't say anything. She just looked at him. And a little book boy says, Mother, don't look at me. And I said, Jesus, don't look at me, because he loves me. And I fail him, and I don't want to fail him. And so we ask him, just help me. And he forgives us and helps us. And he looks to, he's always watching, always correcting. And oh, here I put down, wouldn't I have to put this down? Jesus loves me. He showed me that love in Romans 5, 8. He says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus loves me in spite of my sin. We cannot fathom God's love for us. And we all sing the hymn by Frederick Lehman, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, or every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. He loves us. There's a little picture of God's love. It's the story of William Gladstone, great British statesman, one time Prime Minister of England. and he's announcing the death of Princess Alice to the House of Commons. And he told this very touching story. The little daughter of the princess was seriously ill with diphtheria. The doctors told the princess not to kiss her little daughter and endanger her own life by breathing in the child's breath. Once, when the child was struggling to breathe, the mother, totally forgetting herself, took the little one in her arms and drew her to her close and to keep her from choking to death. And gasping and struggling, the little child said to her mother, "Mama, kiss me." And without absolutely no thought for self, that mother kissed her little daughter, and as a result, she died a few days later. That's a dim picture, a faint picture of how Jesus loved us. That wonderful love of God, that wonderful love of Jesus. And he talks about that. Look at this in Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. See what that said? Who for the joy that was set before him went to the cross. That's how much he loved us. And so then I close. Jesus is so beautiful. So beautiful. Just about 30 days ago, a woman from Seaside, Oregon wrote this. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus, you promised to always be with us. You died for our sin. Now we're cleansed within. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. And the Gaithers put it this way. Since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my life to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Every need he is supplying, plenteous grace he bestows. Every day my way gets brighter. The longer I serve him, sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. More love that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Yes, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. The longer you know Jesus, the more beautiful he becomes. I know from experience. Jesus is more real to me than at any time in my life. And he is so beautiful. And he is so caring and he is so kind. And I'm hearing some of you saying right now, "Oh yes, I want that Savior just like you. I want Jesus too." And I tell you how you can have him. You can come to Jesus right now and you just pray with me. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and take my sins away. I'll live for you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you make that prayer, you're a child of God. And I'm praying that millions of you are doing that right now all over the world. And then if you write, and if you can get to a computer, get the ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you can get sermons, you can get how to accept Jesus and all of that. But I know many of you, most of you in the persecuted church, probably all of you, none of you have computers. I don't have them either, so don't worry about that. And so you write to us or just pray, or read the Bible, read the Gospel of John, and trust Jesus, but ask him into your heart. You have to have him. And if you want to, you write to us. Or if you want to help us with this work, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send us a gift, you can do that. We have to pay our way like anybody else, so you have to help us if you want us to continue. And then if you want to send it on the internet, you get ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you can send it on the. You can send a gift. It'll come in U.S. currency. We can pay our bills. But whatever you do, trust Jesus, and read your Bible and pray and get into a church where you can get some help. Now I want to give the address again, especially for all of our people shortwave. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you can write to us. You can send us a gift. You can do whatever you want with that. Maybe tell us about yourself. And now I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the multitudes of people that have opened their heart to you and asked you to come in. And I just thank you that I know that they'll have the peace of their heart and the joy of their salvation. Pray for the persecuted church again. Pray for those who are shut-ins, Lord. Pray for those who are sick and lonely. Pray for those who have lost loved ones. Pray for those who are having trouble with the children. Pray for the children that they'll come to you, and the young people just starting out in life, they don't know which way to go. Help them to receive you into their life and to read that Bible and to trust you, and you'll guide them because you got a plan for them. Oh, dear Jesus, those on beds of sickness, those who are shut in, whatever it is, we pray that you'll give them help and strength. I know you will. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's been a wonderful time to be together with you. You know, a lot of times I'd say, I look forward to the weekend when I can get together and be with you again. But someday this is going to all end, and we're going to be in heaven. And I'm going to see you face to face, and I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to shake your hand, and we're going to talk about the wonderful glories of heaven. And we're going to see Jesus, and we're going to sing. I don't sing well at all, but I tell you, when I get there, I'm going to be retuned. They retune the piano. They're going to retune me, and I'm going to sing and praise God. And I'm going to sing about the blood of the Lamb that washed away the sins of the world. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. And I've said it every time that I can ever remember. Oh, we love you, and I love you, everyone. And I'm looking forward to seeing you over there. God bless you, in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.